So long story short, I left home, you know, 13 years old, lived on the streets of Los Angeles till I was about 16. And when you're that young, you will be sexually, physically, and mentally abused. Had a little friend, I used to eat out of the dumpster. She told me one time, hey, dude, you don't have to do that anymore. She said, I'll feed you. She fed me for a while. We were going to a show. She was running across the street, got hit by a car and killed. There went my only support system ever. Joined the military, learning, thinking that I could kill, steal, rob, pervert, or destroy legally, and they would not put me in prison. Vietnam War had just ended. There was a lull in the wars, so I didn't get to actually fight. But it created in me a passion to kill you with my bare hands. And I could shoot really good with a rifle. I had a passion for motorcycles. I rode with a biker gang for 20-plus years. 20-plus years in that valley. And living with the club like we did, you already know that I didn't have any hope. I didn't have anything. Spent 12 and a half years in the penitentiary system for murder. Last time I was in front of a judge, I was facing 104 years to life. But see, something happened. The same thing that happened in my life back in 97 is the same thing that can happen in your life today. Jesus. So I tell you this because, see, sometimes you don't know the impact of what us mentors have to offer you. I dropped out of school in sixth grade. I tell people I graduated high school and went to sixth grade twice. That's 12 grades. But the bottom line is, somebody prayed for me, just like they're praying for you. So tonight we're going to talk about how prayer changes our lives. Biblically, in 1 Samuel 1:11, a girl named Hannah, she was the unfortunate second wife. She was barren. She couldn't have kids. She was ridiculed and humiliated by the wife who easily bore children. So Hannah pleaded with God for a son, promising to give that son back to God. Her prayer, O Lord Almighty, if you will look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. Have you ever heard of the prophet, the disciple named Samuel? Sure enough, Samuel became the greatest prophet in Israel's history who maintained direct communication with God throughout his life. In addition to Samuel, God also gave Hannah 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. When we are willing to give God our best, he blesses us with more. Peter was in prison preaching the gospel. The church prayed for Peter's release. After the Christian faith began to take root, the religious Hebrew governor, King Herod Agrippa, arrested Peter and put him in prison. Acts 12:5 says, so Peter was kept in prison. Are you ready? But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. People are praying for us, even when we're in prison. We need to continue to pray for that in prison. Not just the one standing there holding those bars, but the addict, the broken family member, the one that thinks that there's no hope. The power in this room in prayer can bust down walls. One night an angel appeared in Peter's jail cell and led him out of the prison, through the doors and past the guards. Peter arrived at Mary's house where the church was gathered praying. The servant girl was so surprised, she forgot to even invite him in the house. Sometimes God answers our prayers so quickly, it surprises us. It surprises us. But he did it. Amen?
Amen.
Jerusalem is under siege, so Hezekiah prays to save his people. The powerful... I even practiced that word. I was like, God, I don't know that word. Assyrian king had laid siege to Jerusalem. King Hezekiah, who told his people to keep their faith in God, prayed for delivery from their enemy. How many of you been praying for your enemy? There's power in that. Praying for those that dissed your name. Praying for those who dissed your family. Power in it. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, "Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are king." 1 Kings 19:20. So that night, the angel of the Lord killed 85,000 Assyrian soldiers, which compelled the rest of the army to return home without a fight. Whenever God's people follow his plan, he wages war on our behalf. He wages war on our behalf. What about this one? Have you ever had a sick family member? Maybe you're sick. Have you really called out on Jesus? Jairus, a synagogue ruler, risked his position in his faith community by making a request of the new religious teacher named Jesus right in front of everyone. See, are you afraid to tell people about Jesus in front of people you think are going to laugh at you or ridicule you?
No.
Are you standing there in holy boldness telling somebody how God changed your life? So Jairus said, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." That's Mark 5:23. Jesus tested Jairus' faith with a stop along the way. You know why? He was going to heal a sick woman. But we're like, "God, hey, dude, this is my baby right here. Dude, come on, make it happen. Get over here. We need you right now." See, but God knew that he needed to heal this sick woman. But we want what we want, and we want it right now. So before Jesus got to Jairus' house, the little girl had already died. But Jesus was planning more than a healing. He told Jairus to believe. Jesus entered the house and raised the girl back to life. It's in Jesus' time, family, not yours, not mine. It's in his time. Jesus wants to exceed our heart's desires. He wants to resurrect our faith. Hopefully that is not my phone, because I'm pretty sure it was not. My bad, God. It was mine. It was mine. I did it. God, glory. That's almost like heaven. Never mind. Hypocrite. I did it. Okay. But listen to this again. Jesus wants to exceed our heart's desires. We only think we just want this little bit. Jesus wants us to have all of this. He wants us to have all of this. He wants to resurrect our faith. We see something as, "Dude, you missed the boat, God. Look what happened. Look what's going on. God, you missed the boat." But if we stay in the game, dude, he's got something so much better for us. We just look at the little, he looks at it all. We look right at the situation. How are you going to do this? When we really need to look through the situation, he's going to do this. Amen?
Amen?
So Moses, another brother, he was called the friend of God. James 2:23, if you want to ever verify anything that I say scriptural, I got addresses. He talked to God regularly. That's a big word for a man of mine. I was like, whoa, I think I got that one, God. In a beautiful conversation, Moses asked for God's blessings on the Israelites and for God's presence to go with them as they traveled. Do you pray before you go places? Or do you just jump in and get and don't even think? And you're just going a block down here to the store. You're just going over to pick up the school kids from school. Or you're just going to a meeting. Do you pray? Do you realize how far it is between here and the glory of God? That far. That far. That's it. It's done. But are you ready? Maybe you just left the house after giving your wife a piece of your mind that you couldn't afford to lose. Maybe you disrespected your child instead of said, do you know I love you, child? You said, hey, clean your room. You did this at school today. And then you go off down the street and die. Family, we are different. We are set apart. Do you believe you are set apart? Amen. You have to understand that every single minute of the day, there's a battle out there. Right now, God's got his armor around us in this room. We walk out that exit sign. Whoo. Whoo. Are you ready? Then Moses asked to see God's glory, God's very personage up close. He said in Exodus 33:18, now show me your glory. God responded by tucking Moses in a little place. He tucked him in a little cliff on Mount Sinai and covering his view until God stood before him. Here's what he did. He did like this. He covered his eyes. Sometimes we walk around like this. But it isn't God's hand over our eyes. It's our own. I don't want to see what that judge is going to do to me. Just take your consequences, get done with it, and move on. I don't want to see what my wife's going to say after I paid that paycheck. You burnt that paycheck. You ain't got to burn that paycheck no more. I ain't got to see what community correction is going to do to me if I don't relapse. Woo-hoo. If I'm touching on you, say amen. That was weak. Am I touching something? Say amen. Amen. Come on. God responded by tucking Moses into a little cliff on Mount Sinai and covering his view until God stood before him. God's got you. God knows what you need to see. If you're asking for God to show himself to you, be ready. Be ready. Then God removed his hand and allowed Moses to view his form from the back. Ooh. He did it. What was the result of this encounter? Moses so greatly resembled God's brilliance that he had to wear a veil over his face so the Israelites could not look at him. Woo! You're in the presence of Jesus. Shine like it. People need to know that you are saved, that you are set apart, that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Handle it. People say, I love this. One of my boys, I was talking to his judge. That's crazy too. I don't now go, yes, your honor. When I'm standing in handcuffs, they call me. I'm talking to his judge. And this judge says, hey, I've seen your boy. And I ain't going to throw him under the bus because he isn't in the room yet. He's still working, praise God. And he said, I could see in his eyes change. I could see in his color healing. And anything I needed from that judge right there, he gave me the case number, wrote the case number down and said, you personally put it on there and you got it. People are watching you. They're watching me. I can shake people's hands like this. You ready? Shake their hands like that. Thinking, okay, I turn around like this and they start talking garbage behind your back. Does that offend me? It bothers my flesh, but I don't care if you like me or not. I care that I'm up doing this. There's going to be gossipers. There's going to be backbiters. There's going to be people that hate what you're doing. Suck it up, buttercup. Move on. Keep doing what you know you're doing and doing it right. And pretty soon they're going to come back and say, hey, I was wrong about you. Moses so greatly resembled God's brilliance that he had to wear a veil over his face so the Israelites could look at him. How much of God's presence could we witness and represent if we worshiped like Moses? Think about that. Think about that. Wow. When King Hezekiah became deathly ill, the prophet Isaiah came to him with a message from God that he would die. Hezekiah prayed and cried to God, remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. 2 Kings 23. Before Isaiah had left the palace, God instructed him to return with a new message. Just like he's telling you. I have heard your prayers and seen your tears. I will heal you. I will add 15 years to your life. See, God responds to us when we remain in relationship with him. He may even change his mind. That's powerful. That's God. Today we are in court today, kind of, this is what did it. This is what did my sermon here tonight. We're in court today. And it was kind of confusing. We weren't in the normal courtroom that we were in. So me and Marvin were hanging out there, and a brother of ours walks up. And it's a brother and I and Marvin are talking. He was explaining his situation. A probation officer walked up. Probation officer looked at this gentleman and said, what are you doing here? And this gentleman said something to the effect of, I got this killer job, you know, and the probation officer was like shutting him down. Well, we just talked about this. You can't just walk in the court and ask for them to remove certain things for you. It's a process. My little brother stood in there and he stood in the gap with Jesus. And we'll come back to that. The night of Jesus' betrayal, Jesus prayed alone in a garden, asking for God to protect his followers. Jesus! It's good enough for him to pray. Don't you think it's good enough for us? Woo! How many times have you been in your garden praying today? You pray when you want something. Why don't you pray to be obedient to him? Jesus agonized in prayer to God, saying, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Family, we need to learn to ask for God's mercy, even while we commit to obey his will. We don't like what we see. We don't know the outcome, but don't you think he does? I'm almost done. I'll keep you here till 10. You'll be good. Why y'all laugh when I say that, man? We got lights. They're on. When Babylonian King Nebuchadnezzar had a confusing dream, he ordered his counselors to describe the dream and tell him what it meant, or he was going to kill him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hannah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. See, not only were Daniel and his friends saved, but they were also elevated to positions of high authority in that pagan country. Daniel would become a spiritual influence to three powerful kings. See, you don't have no idea where God's going to place you. If you are willing to identify yourself as a praying believer who expects God to answer, or do you say, I don't know. You don't know, but God does. Get on your knees sometime and get off the phone playing these games. They got this really cool app called YouVersion. It's a Bible app. Dude, you can go through every single book in 43 different styles of the Bible and get so much wisdom out of it. Or you can get arthritis playing the games with your thumbs. I'd rather have calluses on my knees until he's done with me. See, I believe in knee-mail more than I do email. I drive every single morning from South Calhoun Street to Huntington, Indiana. I absolutely love my God time. Love it. Get over there, either put out fires or start them, depending on what kind of mood I'm in. Get a fire under your butt, time to move. Or put out, you just never know what's going to happen. But here's the deal. He does. Have you allowed him to know what or how much you love him every day? A thief on the cross. While Jesus suffered on the cross to provide us salvation for our sins, two thieves hung next to him. While one of them ridiculed Jesus for allowing himself to be crucified, the second asked for forgiveness. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Wow. See, Jesus forgave the thief during his dying moments. It's never too late for a spiritual transformation. But are you ready? So in the courtroom today, we walked in and doing what we do, and before we walked in, we prayed with this brother. Joe, come here. I'm gonna front you off, bro. If you don't know Joe, meet Joe. Give him a round of applause. Before I tell them what my version is, Joe, tell them what you happened today.
Basically, I went to court trying to see the judge. I hired my lawyer last week to try to get in front of the judge, but my lawyer didn't show up today. I was supposed to start my job today, but I asked if I could get today off to go to court, and they let me get today off, so I start tomorrow. But I'm on hold probation, and that's the whole reason I was trying to go back to court, is to speak to Ms. Davis, Judge Davis, to get off of hold probation 2 months early so I can get this job, go to this job with the union. So, basically, after my lawyer didn't show up, and my probation officer said, "What am I doing there?" Basically, I had no chance to even see the judge at all. And he pretty much shot me down, you know, and I was sad, getting ready to probably cry, and ran into these guys, and they lifted me up, and we prayed, and I went to court without my lawyer and just sat down, and court went on and everybody went, and it was over. Court was over with. I didn't get seen, and everybody was just talking and get ready to leave, and next you know, Judge Davis called my name. She turned the clock back on. Long story short, she released me from my hope probation. And, I start my job tomorrow. bright and early.
Thank you, Donnie. Appreciate it.
So, does Jesus answer instant prayers? Instantly! He sat in the back of the courtroom. Court was closed. As a matter of fact, it was good the way the court ended. One of the last guys, you know, he was like, said something to the prosecutor about, I hope you have a heart attack, old man. Didn't really set well with him as the bailiffs were hurrying him out. So, court's over. It's over. Prosecutor's up there talking to the judge. Community corrections are talking. Park Center, we're just, you know, talking. As a matter of fact, I was dogging the prosecutor. I said, hey, bro, instead of a gold watch when you retire, we'll get you a defibrillator. You know? I mean, it was over. But then all of a sudden, Judge Davis, sitting at her post, leaned around like that and called that brother's name. Said, come up here to the microphone. Come up to the microphone. She asked, Marvin and Donnie, has he been coming to Faith Base regularly? And we said, absolutely. Is he doing what he needs to do? Absolutely. So it ain't what we got, it's what he got. I'm 61, okay, I know I look 30, but I'm 61 years old. I've been in a lot of courtrooms. I have never seen that. But see, the power of prayer to change your life. We prayed. I'm not going to lie. I told brother, you can't just come into the courtroom. You know, I'm like, this isn't going to happen. You know, we love you. We'll pray for you, but get on out. You know, so I'd be my little butt. He sat in the back of the courtroom because, see, he knew where he needed to be today. He knew what the outcome was going to be today. You are God. He is. So if you really don't think the impossible is possible in 2019, I just presented you a teaching on prayer. So today, what do you need prayer for? What do you need God to do to heal your life just like he did Joe's? Just like he did all these. And this is only the ones that I had enough time to prepare for. What can we pray together as a family? I ain't telling nobody what I need prayer for. You don't have to. But tonight we're going to do something just a little bit different. We're going to pray. We're just going to go into that prayer. Because see, we don't have to speak it out. We just have to shut up and pray. It'll become uncomfortable. People will want to look around. They'll want to know if they're the first ones to raise their head. There'll be different things that happen. Some of you don't even know how to pray yet. That's okay. This is practice. But see, when you walk out that exit sign that should truly say entrance, you can be healed just like we are. Amen?
Amen.
So we're just going to go into a prayer mode. It might be a minute. It might be 5 minutes. I got you here till 10. It might be 2 hours and 22 minutes. I don't know. But no, all seriousness, right before I wrap it up, as you're still in prayer mode, I'm going to read something, and then I'll close. Amen?
Amen.
So get in your prayer position, and let's do it. When you feel you can no longer go on, when you feel you are without hope, when you feel your world is completely in shambles, please understand you are not alone, because the Lord, the God who created heaven and earth, is with you, and He desires to replace that fear, sorrow, doubt, and loneliness with His love, peace, and joy. Family, please know He is waiting on you, waiting for you to turn over all of these fears and sorrows to Him. You just need to cry out to Him, because He is waiting for you. He will never force Himself on, but is constantly reaching out to you and wanting you to know you are not alone, and that He is with you, and He desires to breathe life, hope, and joy into your soul. So, brothers and sisters, today, if this is you, understand God will not judge you, but only desires to heal you. You just need to call out to Him, because He is waiting, waiting for you. So today, if you feel you have drifted from the Lord or have never asked Jesus, His Son, to forgive you of your sins, we at Faith Based encourage you to just pray and ask Jesus to forgive you and fill you with the joy your heart desires. And I leave you with this. He will never turn away a sincere heart looking for help. In Jesus' name I pray. And together all God's people said, Amen. Amen.